Another reason that God brings things into our lives at a particular point in time is because God knows it's time to refine you. Do you remember the story of Job in the Old Testament? Job didn't just have a hard-to-understand time. Job went through the most intense, hard-to-understand time that anyone has ever gone through. And as he's going through it, here's what Job had to say. He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. God was refining Job to make him better than he was. And that might be what God is doing in your life. He wants to produce something in your life that isn't there right now. Or he wants to take something that is in your life right now and make it even better than it is. That's why James in the New Testament challenges us with this statement, consider it pure joy, unadulterated joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces spiritual endurance, but let endurance complete its work so that you may be spiritually mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's the process of spiritual refining. And the result when God does this is that you will come forth as gold. And the dross and the impurities of your life will be removed, and you'll be refined as gold for God. I ran across this statement as I was studying this week about this particular topic. I wanted to share it with you. The writer said, the Bible often uses the imagery of gold being refined as a picture of what God does in our lives. Gold, when extracted from the earth, does not look like gold we find in the jewelry store. In fact, it's not always recognizable due to the impurities that mar its appearance. Yet for the person searching for it, the ugliest lump of gold is of great value, and the potential for beauty is evident. We, as men and women, are similar to those lumps of unrefined gold. The sacrifice of God's Son to reconcile us back to relationship with God shows just how much He values us, even while we are lost and separated from Him. God sees us not full of impurity, but full of potential. He, in the refining imagery, is the refiner, and we are the lump of unrefined gold, full of impurity, full of potential beauty. He goes on to say this, God loves us too much to leave us as we are because our impure selves cannot reflect clearly all of who He is, and our fullest joy is realized in the growing brilliance of our reflection of Him in our lives. Man, that is powerful stuff. God doesn't want to leave you the way you are. Because the way I am today, I cannot reflect Jesus as He is. And He wants me to reflect Jesus as Jesus is. And so He refines me, and He refines me so that more and more I can reflect Jesus more accurately and more accurately and more accurately. You see, heat is the only thing that will refine gold. And sometimes the only thing that will refine us are those hard-to-understand events that take place in our lives. But God wants us to be the purest gold we can be. Well, when you go through hard-to-understand times in life and you ask the question, why now, God? It might be, I'm having trouble with this thing this morning. I think the batteries must be dying on me. Because God is preparing you for something even greater. It might be because God is preparing you for something even greater. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, all of our trials, all of our hardships, so that we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Before God can comfort us, we have to go through times of trial, times of trouble. Did you notice what he called God, the title of God in this section? We're talking about trials. We're talking about trouble. We're talking about conflict. He called him the Father of Mercies. That's significant. It's the God of mercy who brings hard to understand things into our lives because he loves us so much, so that we can comfort those who are in trouble. In the following verses, the Apostle Paul talks about his afflictions and his sufferings and all of the trouble that he had in serving God. And really what Paul says in that passage in 2 Corinthians is, you know, we tend to think about comfort as something, you know, soft and cuddly and warm, and it's not. One writer said, Paul was saying that God came to him in the middle of his suffering and troubles to strengthen him and give him courage and boldness. Why did God put Paul through everything he put Paul through in his life? He did it so that the Apostle Paul, one reason, would be able to go to people who are going through those same hardships and those same trials and bring them comfort and encouragement. God was preparing Paul for something even greater in his ministry. And that might be what God is doing in your life. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have at some time prayed, God, use me in a greater way? God, use me in something bigger than right now. Do you know what you're praying when you pray that? God, put me through trials. God, bring trouble into my life so I'm ready to serve you in bigger ways. You might be going through something right now that you don't understand, and you're asking God, God, why now? And God might be saying, because I have something fantastic planned for you down the road. Just wait. We don't read a lot of specifics about the suffering that Christians went through back in the New Testament era. In the Bible, you don't read a lot about it. You read a little bit about it there in Hebrews chapter 11. But we know from secular history what an intense time of suffering it was during the lives of Paul and Peter and then John and then shortly after that. How many of those Christians who went through that suffering in the 10 and 25 and 50 and 100 years after the time of the Apostle Paul were encouraged by the faith of Paul and what he went through, either by personally hearing about it from Paul or by hearing about it from someone else and hearing about his example? And that can be true of us. You might be able to minister to someone in the future because you went through that same hard-to-understand thing that they are going through. And God put you through that trial at just the right time so you are prepared to minister to them. You see, life is not about us. Life is about Jesus and how we can serve Him. I can't help but think about several people in our church who have gone through tremendously difficult times, who are now far more qualified than I am to minister to someone else who will go through that same difficult time because they've been there. They understand that. They've seen the faithfulness of God. They know what God can do. Never think that the hard-to-understand times in your life are wasted times. They will only be wasted if you fail to see the spiritual benefit that God can bring into your life because of those times. They're only wasted when we see them through our eyes and not the eyes of God. Well, when you go through hard-to-understand times and ask the question, why now? It might be because God knows you need an infusion of grace in your life. I've already alluded to the Apostle Paul and the hardships he went through. I don't know if you remember what Paul went through, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he lists for us, 5 times I was beaten with 39 lashes. Somebody please answer their phone. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned with rocks and left for dead. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He was lost in the sea for 24 hours. He was put in prison on at least 3 occasions. He says, I was in danger as I traveled from robbers and from those who would kill him and from mobs. He said, I suffered hunger and I suffered thirst and I suffered cold and I suffered nakedness. All while serving God. Not while he was out there doing something wrong or out there doing something for himself. Wouldn't you think that God would take better care of his servants? Why did Paul go through the things he went through when he did? He actually gives us an answer in the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about probably the hardest thing that he went through in his life. In fact, it's the only thing I can find in the Bible where Paul says, God, take it away. God, take it away. He doesn't tell us exactly what it is. He called it his thorn in the flesh. In all of the New Testament, I cannot find where Paul says, God, take away the beatings. God, take away the jail time. God, take away the hunger. God, take away the shipwreck. But he pleaded with God 3 times, he says, to take away his thorn in the flesh, his thorn in the flesh. Can I just suggest to you it was worse than anything else he went through? That's why he asked God to take it away. And here's what God told him. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need, Paul. My grace is what you need, Paul. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What God knew at that moment in time when Paul prayed, God, take it away, God, take it away, God, take it away. What God knew was that Paul needed an infusion of grace. Paul needed to learn that what he needed most was not healing, but grace. And sometimes that's what we need, folks. We need to understand God's grace. We need to understand what it means to live in God's grace. We need to understand what it means to depend upon God's grace. That is more important than escaping the hard times in life. What we need is an infusion of God's grace. And God may simply be saying to you, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is what you need. You don't need to get out of the trial. You need my grace. You see, if our trials are here in life, God's grace is here in life. And what we need more than escaping the hard-to-understand times is to learn his grace. Well, another reason for God's timing in our lives is because God knows you need your focus refocused. Last Sunday, as we looked at why me, we talked about our perspective. How we need to have the perspective that God is in control of our lives, not that we're not in control of our lives, and that we need to surrender the control of our lives to him. This thought is very similar. God brings hard to understand things into our lives because he wants to refocus our focus. Again, I think the Apostle Paul can help us understand this. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart. Going through those hard-to-understand times, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man, this body, is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. Paul is talking here about life's problems. He goes on to say, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God wants us to have an eternal focus. The things that we can see in this life, the hard to understand things, are not to be what we focus on. We're not to look, Paul says, at the things that are seen, but at the things that we cannot see. Paul says four things in this passage about the hard to understand things in life that we see. You can jot them down there in your outline. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a spot for it. The things that we see in life, the hard to understand things, he says they're simply light afflictions. Now, I know that what you're going through in life seems really heavy and really important, and it's really weighing you down. And Paul is not trying to minimize what you're going through, and I am not trying to minimize what you're going through. Paul is just trying to help us keep our perspective. In comparison, listen to me, in comparison to what you have waiting for you in heaven, what you are going through in this life is like nothing. This is not on your outline, but I'm convinced God puts us through hard-to-understand times so that we don't get married to this world. We're supposed to be married to heaven. And God just wants you to long for heaven. And I've got to tell you, the older I get and the more I go through, the more I long for heaven. I'm just tired of all this. And there are days in life when I would trade everything I have for heaven. Don't get married to this world. These are just light afflictions. And someday we're going to stand in the presence of God, and we're going to see all the glory that God has for us, and we're going to kick ourselves and say, wow, did I have it all wrong? I thought all those things on earth that I was going through were so important, and they're nothing compared to this. You're just going to take that by faith, and when we get to heaven, you can come and tell me I was right, okay? The second thing that Paul says about the things we can see, he says they're only for a moment. Only for a moment. In the scope of eternity, the problems, the hard-to-understand things that we face in this life don't last very long. You might go through something in this life that you can't explain, and you might go through it for 25 or 30 or 70 years. That is nothing compared to eternity. Paul says they're just for a moment. And then he says, number three, they have a purpose. He says they are working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can I just put it very simply for you? The future glory that you will receive from God far outweighs anything you will go through in this life. That's what he's saying. And then he says, fourthly, they are temporary. The things that we see in this life, including those things that we cannot explain, those things we cannot understand, are temporary. They will not last. You see, what will last are the things of eternity. Even though Paul says we can't see them now with our physical eyes. You see, God just wants you to keep your focus. And he might be putting you through something you can't explain to refocus your focus, because your focus has got all screwed up. And you're looking at your problems, and you're looking at life, and you're looking at the hardships, and you're looking at the things you can't explain rather than looking at eternity. God wants you to focus on the things that you cannot see with your physical eyes, not on what you can see. And listen, I'll admit it, and all of you will admit it. We focus on the things we see. We focus on the things that are right in front of us. We focus on things that are happening today. And God says, you need to get your focus refocused. You might be going through a hard-to-understand time because your focus is out of line. And God, in love, just wants to bring you back, to bring your focus back in line. The question, why now? Why am I going through this hard-to-understand time now in my life? Might have several answers. It might be because God knows now you're ready for more. You can take the next step. You can do the next thing for God. He was just getting you ready. It might be because God knows it's time to refine you. Just like gold, you need a little refining process. It might be because God is preparing you for something even greater. I have something for you that's greater than you'll ever imagine. I just need to get you ready for it. It might be because God knows that you need an infusion of His grace, just like Paul did. My grace is sufficient. That's all you need. It might be because God knows you need your focus refocused. Again, as I said last Sunday, I hope that these answers will help you as you navigate through the hard-to-understand times in life. The times that you can't explain. The times that you don't have an answer for and you may never have an answer for. But I hope this will help you. Father, we don't always understand your purposes. We don't always understand what you're doing in our lives. And yet, you have a time for everything. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. There's a time to laugh and a time to cry. There is a time for everything, and your time is what's the most important. And in your time, you bring things into our lives for a purpose, for a reason. Help us to trust your goodness. Help us to trust your love. Help us to trust your wisdom. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.